Going to the cloud has a lot of risk, but we always hear the term risk. And everyone has different meanings, different approaches, different things that they consider risks. In this video, I'm going to outline some technical and some non-technical risks that are associated with migrating to the cloud and how you can mitigate them. Stick around. This is going to be a lot of fun. Well, welcome back, everyone. I'm Elias Kneser, and today we're going to answer the question, what are the technical and non-technical risks that cloud computing poses? Now, if you like this type of content, do me a favor, hit that like button. It really helps the YouTube algorithm, helps spread this video out. Share this video, that also would be super helpful. Make sure you hit the notification bell so that you're alerted the next time I upload a video. And most importantly, leave a comment below. I'd love to start a conversation. Maybe there are risks that I haven't taken into account. Maybe there are mitigation techniques or approaches that I haven't mentioned here. I'd be happy to learn from you, and I'm sure the rest of the community would as well. Now, before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor. Today's video sponsor is Veritas, and what a perfect topic for Veritas to sponsor. So thank you to Veritas for sponsoring this episode. Data is changing the world. The way workloads are deployed, governed, and consumed has also changed. No longer can these digital assets be managed in a silo. To be successful, all teams from the backup administrator all the way to the cybersecurity professional must work together in unison to identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover your data. Partner with Veritas to bolster your team's ability to keep your data and applications safe and highly available, regardless of where your data lives. Remember, taking control of your data is a team sport, and Veritas is here for you to win. Now, everyone talks about cloud risk, but usually folks will talk about cloud risk from their perspective, in a certain space, something that relates to them specifically. What I want to try to do here is take a step back and look at the cloud risks in a broader manner. Let's start with the technical risks, starting with number one, which is availability and resilience. Now, when you're going to the cloud or when you're on premises, wherever you're deploying applications and workloads, the number one thing you're thinking about is how do I make this highly available, right? That's the number one thing that goes through your mind. This is how you're architecting hardware. This is how you're thinking about it. And then you're thinking about it from a resilience perspective. No matter how much you make something highly available, there's going to be an event that's going to challenge that availability. So we want to make sure that should there be an interruption, how resilient are we? How are we going to respond? How are we going to recover? All of these things become a primary risk and a primary concern for anyone deploying in the cloud, deploying anywhere, but in the cloud in particular, because we're talking about cloud here. Now, there are several ways to mitigate this risk, but let's talk about the first one, which is understanding the architecture of the cloud providers. Understanding basic things sometimes, like availability zones, availability sets, regions. How are you going to architect across the different availability zones? There could be 3 availability zones in a region. There could be 5. When do you do multiple availability zones versus maybe multiple regions? How many availability zones are you going to spread across? If there's 5 AZs in a region, are you going to go across all 5? What is the cost implication of this type of an architecture? So you want to make sure you understand how this provider is configured, how they're architected from a availability perspective, what they're offering you, what you can take advantage of so that you can build cost efficiently and something that makes sense. But that's at the IaaS level. Let's go one step further, because you're not just consuming IaaS capabilities when you're going to these cloud providers. You're also consuming platform services, PaaS services from these providers. Here, you don't have a lot of control over the availability and resilience. What you do have control over is the knowledge of how these providers have architected these platforms. How available are they? How resilient are they? You should take that, you should factor that into your decision-making process as to whether or not you're going to use that database as a service from the cloud provider or not. So understanding how they're architecting their services that you're going to consume or you're going to make available to your organization to consume becomes critical for you as well. And then you have cloud native architecture. Understanding how you're going to architect, how you're going to create availability and resilience with things like Kubernetes and containers. Are you going to use the clustering services? Are you going to have some kind of a hybrid model even on the cloud provider's architecture? Maybe you're going to use some of their container clusters, but maybe other components of the application are not necessarily going to have, you know, those platform services capabilities. How are you going to create availability and resilience for those services? Risk number two in the technical buckets category, and this one's a big one, and I'm sure you've guessed it. This is going to be security and access, security and identity. This is a pretty big bucket. There's a ton of things that we can put in here. There's a lot of challenges that are facing organizations, and these challenges are going to continue to compound. They're going to increase in complexity. All of those are things that we have to deal with today. But how do I mitigate some of these things? Well, there are a ton of ways to mitigate. But again, understanding foundational things is the number one thing. So I would implore you to start by understanding the shared responsibility model. What is the provider responsible for securing versus what you are responsible for securing? That is the delineation. That is the number one thing that you have to understand in order to know what you need to protect. From there on, from a technical perspective, in order for you to mitigate, there are a ton of things that you can use to mitigate, right? Things as basic as ACLs or access control lists, those have to be configured properly, addressed properly. Things like RBAC or role-based access control, things like two-factor authentication, things like logging, which becomes super, super critical to your security. Understanding when to use CASB, understanding, you know, zero access from your network perspective. So there's a lot of things from an identity perspective, understanding how to do single sign-on. How are you going to do integration? And the challenging part with security, and most of the security folks will tell you this, it's not important to just do one of them right. It's important to do all of them right, because your weakest link is going to be your biggest challenge. So from a security perspective, it's important, it's crucial to have a comprehensive end-to-end cloud security approach that tackles the network, that tackles identity, that tackles logging. All of these things have to be dealt with from a technical perspective. You are mitigating security here from a technical perspective. We're going to talk about how I mitigate security, or how do I approach it from a non-technical perspective, because there are aspects there as well. But here I just wanted to highlight some of the technical capabilities. Number three, technical risk, and we're going to bucketize this under data protection. Data is the most important thing that we have, right? Absolutely. Now, when you're dealing with data protection, you also want a comprehensive end-to-end strategy. You're starting to see how this works. You need an end-to-end strategy for pretty much all of these buckets. And at the end, you need a strategy that covers availability and resilience, that covers security, that covers data protection, and other aspects that we're going to talk about. But it's important to not take things in silos anymore, to not take things in slices anymore, in nuggets anymore. So from a data protection perspective, we're talking about backup. We're talking about replication. We're talking about encryption. We're talking about data privacy. All of these things fall under this data protection bucket. And today's video sponsor is Veritas. And to plug them even more, what a perfect match for the video, right? Now, if you're looking for a technical approach, technical tools to help you mitigate this, then again, one of the advice that I would give you is try to find a single tool that would help you manage this entire stack end to end. And here, I'm gonna leave some links to Veritas. Go ahead and take a look at what they're offering. Give the software a test if you haven't used it. The suite is filled with a lot of capabilities. And when we're talking about data protection, when we're talking about security, and even when we're talking about availability and resilience, some of the things that we're going to see that are going to become super crucial in 2023 and beyond is going to be artificial intelligence, or AI. ChatGPT, or generative AI, has really changed the conversation. I believe we're just at the tip of this, right? There's going to be significantly more that we're going to see that is going to be to impact our tools and the way that we're doing things. In the area of security and data protection in particular, AI is already playing a large role, but I believe in the next 6 months, in the next year, you're going to see even significantly more capabilities in this space. Now, AI could be used on both sides, and we all know that. You know, you're trying to defend your environment, you're able to use AI, but the hackers and those that want to cause chaos can also use AI. So you're gonna have to take this with a grain of salt and approach it the right way, but using AI is going to be significantly important to your cloud security and data protection strategy. All right, let's move on to the non-technical side now. And I want to start here with liability. Now, liability is very similar to the shared responsibility model on the technical side, but here it's not necessarily for technical folks, it's for the non-technical folks. But we're talking about it from a liability perspective. Who is responsible for what? The business also needs to understand that liability conversation. They need to understand the liability risk of a single provider. You're dealing with just one provider here. So that educational aspect, that risk mitigation, especially as we move more into digital business, especially as we move more into this subscription economy where your digital business is your infrastructure, right? If you don't have the technical aspects, you're not doing business anymore, right? So it's kind of becoming indistinguishable, which is why it's important not only for the technical folks to understand shared responsibility, but also for the non-technical folks to understand the liability conversation and the liability risk. And we're going to talk in a second about how to mitigate all of these non-technical things and others that we're talking about, but it's important to highlight that. Number two here on this list from a risk perspective for non-technical is going to be around provider management and monitoring. So how are you going to manage? Who is going to manage this ongoing relationship with one cloud provider or multiple cloud providers? Is that the procurement team? Is that a different team? Who's going to manage it? That's going to be important. Who's going to negotiate the contracts? Because contract negotiations with these cloud providers is not very easy. There's not much that you can change. There's not much that you can redline. And some of the challenges here is getting the legal team to understand what they can and cannot do, because legal teams historically have always been used to getting a contract and redlining the heck out of it and sending it back to the provider. Here, there's limited abilities to do all of these things. So how are you going to deal with this limited ability to do contract negotiation? And what if there's something in the contract that doesn't work for you? Now, we haven't seen that in any significant degree because most organizations are leveraging cloud today, but I have heard that from a lot of the legal teams that's been a challenge for them, their inability to redline these contracts. Part of the monitoring of a cloud provider, especially if the provider isn't a large provider like an AWS, an Azure, or a Google, but I would also venture to say even for those providers, is to monitor them from a financial perspective. Are they profitable? Are they not profitable? How much insurance do they carry? Are there risks that are being posed to their business that could potentially impact the platform that you are hosting on? So someone has to keep a close eye. Now again, if AWS or Microsoft or Google, if something's going on with these organizations, something bigger is happening in the world, but that doesn't mean we don't pay attention. And again, this is not typically the responsibility of the technical folks, so it's important for someone to keep an eye on the provider. Keep an eye on the provider also from, are they adhering to their service level agreements or SLAs that they're putting out there? What has their track record been for their services? All of these things have to be taken into account. Are they compliant? Do they have the right certifications? Do they offer the sovereignty and privacy requirements that we're looking for? This management, this monitoring of the provider presents a risk, because again, with the larger providers, maybe it's a little bit less of a risk, but sometimes when you're going with a SaaS provider, you're going with a smaller provider. And at that point, you want to monitor, you want to understand how they're architecting their services, what kind of insurance they carry, are they profitable? All of these things are very fair questions to ask, because you are trying to understand the viability of their business in order to protect your own business. So some team has to be responsible for that as well. Now, from a legal aspect, which is non-technical risk number three, what happens if one of the cloud providers has a bankruptcy? Again, here we're not talking about the large providers because that is less likely, but it's not impossible. So what happens if they have a bankruptcy? These are all fair questions to ask. Some of these questions they might have answers to, some they might not have answers to. And again, it's part of the risk that you are taking. But understanding that becomes crucial. What are the legal implications of data compliance? That is something that the legal team should be considering, should be asking. What about insurance payouts? If you have some form of cyber risk insurance, how do the payouts happen? What are some of the things that you would have to go through in order to get a payout? Those things are important for legal to understand and to capture so that they can be dealt with should that conversation ever needs to happen. Number four, and you're probably waiting for this, cost. Now, cost is a risk to clout, but cost can, there's a lot of things that you can do for cost. The number one thing for cost is to understand whether or not this workload even belongs in the cloud. This is all homework that you should do before you even migrate to cloud. But once you're on the cloud, you want to make sure that you're doing right sizing properly. You want to make sure that you're taking advantage of all the discounts that are available from this cloud provider, taking advantage of all the enterprise agreements that you can take advantage of. You want to make sure that you have a good cost management tool that you have out there, that you have good policies in place to enforce tagging, to do showback, to do even chargeback within the environment so that you're able to mitigate these risks. This shouldn't all fall on the shoulders of IT or any group for that matter. So this is where showback and chargeback comes into play. This is where your tagging policies come into play. All of these things are things that you should consider and you should do from a cost perspective. Number five, non-technical risk. I'm going to bring up skills. Now, skills is crucial. Now, some folks will say, well, this is a technical, it's not a technical feature or capability. It's kind of a soft risk, let's call it, but skills are crucial. Making sure you have the right skills, the right people that can operate your cloud environment is going to be crucial because the skills will impact the cost. If you bring folks that don't understand the cloud properly, they are going to architect and migrate to the cloud using a mindset that applies to the data center. And as a result, your costs are going to skyrocket. So making sure you have the right team, the right architects and engineers that have the right certifications, the skill sets, and the experience to manage the cloud will become a risk that you have to deal with. So making sure that there is the right team, making sure that as an organization, you have the right upskilling strategy. You might need to put your engineers and architects through the right programs. Maybe you hire from outside in order to help them arrive at the conclusions, at what you need them to be at in order to properly architect, design, and implement your environment. I'm going to link to some videos that I did on upskilling on cloud engineer as well. I'm also going to put some stuff up there on cost management and how to address cost in the cloud as well. But skills become crucial. A lot of the folks that today are saying, well, cloud's very expensive, those are the ones that went to cloud without having a proper cloud architecture and implementation in place. And as a result, bada bing, bada boom, you have a bad environment. So understanding the risks that skills pose to you is crucial. All right, so how do we mitigate all of these risks from a technical and non-technical approach? How do I bucketize the remediation of all of these risks? So I'm going to talk to you about several different things. Let's start with number one, which is having a multi-provider, a multi-cloud strategy. Now, some folks will push back on multi-cloud. I firmly believe multi-cloud is inevitable. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So the sooner you have a strategy, the sooner you have an approach, the sooner you have a clearer vision of how you're going to use multi-cloud. Multi-cloud is not about load balancing a workload across AWS and Azure and vMotioning back and forth. If you're using multi-cloud for that, then you're using it for the wrong reason. But you can use multi-cloud for risk mitigation purposes. So if you don't want, if you're trying to avoid that liability conversation that we talked about earlier, multi-cloud can help you. If you're worried about availability and resilience, multi-cloud can potentially help you. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to split the workload across both providers, although that could work as well. But that could mean that if I've got 10 applications, 10 workloads, I'm going to put 5 here and 5 there with all of the dependencies that go on them. That is a way to mitigate your risk across multiple providers. So leveraging a sound multi-cloud strategy will be crucial to this entire conversation that we've had. And I've made several videos on multi-cloud strategy, on multi-cloud architecture. I will link to them so that you can take a look also and, you know, have this conversation. But multi-cloud will help you mitigate a lot of these challenges and risks, even from a security perspective. Because let's just assume the worst, and I'm going to talk about a very basic example. If your Amazon environment got hacked, for example, if you've got 50% of your workloads on your Azure environment, and I know you're going to talk about the links and how they're connected, but again, you've got one environment that got hacked, but not both environments, typically. If you're using the same best practices, the same things, maybe they both get hacked, but again, there is some level of separation. there's no answer that's going to be perfect, so I'm giving you here the things that will potentially help. Provider management is going to be crucial, making sure you have a team that understands how to manage the provider. So we talked about that again at length and some of the things that you should watch out for, but then you have to create some kind of a tiger team that is responsible for ongoing provider management and monitoring. Number three is going to be cyber risk insurance. Now, I've talked about cyber risk insurance a lot. I've done podcasts on it. I've done videos. I will link to those as well in the description and somewhere on the screen. If you haven't explored cyber risk insurance, I implore you to at least have the conversation. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe the cost is prohibitive. Maybe you've got a million questions on, you know, how do you pay out? But it is an important conversation to have because it is one of the ways to mitigate. Remember earlier I talked about the fact, look, your environment is going to be challenged. You are going to face some kind of an outage of some sort. There is so much we can do to mitigate from a technical perspective. There's only so much high availability that we can create. There's only so much resilience that we can create. As I always say, at the end of the day, Earth is a single point of failure. I don't know why I don't create a t-shirt that says Earth a single point of failure, but it is. This is why insurance in general exists, and this is why cyber risk insurance in particular is something that you should take a look at. This is something that the technical folks should be considering, and this is something that the non-technical folks, the procurement folks, the legal folks, and others should also be taking a look at. Number four is going to be exit strategy. Now, I'm also going to link to several videos that I've done on exit strategy. Typically, folks that hear exit strategy automatically assume that that means exiting the cloud. I know that's in the title, but the exercise of an exit strategy is going to be incredibly valuable to you because the exercise itself will uncover all of the risks that are potentially with this cloud provider. We talked earlier about the revenue, who their VC backers are, how much insurance they carry. You know, is there a second provider in this space that offers the same service? Do they have some way to get me off of this failed provider onto their platform? Are there mechanisms, automations, scripts? All of these things are things that you will uncover during the exit strategy exercise. Now there's exit strategy and there's, you know, the implementation of that strategy. So we want to make sure we have a strategy, but we also want to be able to implement that strategy. And those are two completely different conversations. But having the exit strategy conversation early on as you're developing your cloud strategy becomes crucial. And this is another way, another layer for you to mitigate and protect yourself against these technical and non-technical risks that cloud poses. Now, before I close out this video, it's important to understand that risk is a part of life. You take a risk as soon as you step out of your house. You take a risk if you're crossing the street. You take a risk in everything. Now, does that mean that, you know, risk is good? Everyone should take risk? I'm not necessarily saying that, but I'm saying some level of a managed risk, an informed risk, is important, right? Because that helps you make better decisions. Now, without risk, there's no reward. Without business risk, there's no business reward. So risk is a part of life. We have to take it. What I'm saying here is understanding these risks and understanding what we can do from a technical perspective to mitigate them and from a non-technical perspective to mitigate them will go a very long way. What did I miss? What did I miss in terms of the technical risks? What did I miss in terms of the non-technical risks? What did I miss in terms of the remediation of these risks? I would absolutely love to hear from you in the comments below. Don't forget to like, to share, to comment, to hit that notification bell so that you're alerted the next time I upload a video. Thank you so much. If you're still watching to the end, I love you all, and I will see you in the next one.